Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, October 12, 2024. Texas rig count climbs by six. Drilling activity broke out of a four-week slump, inching higher for the first time in 4 weeks. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday its weekly U.S. rig count rose one rig to 586. The count is still down 36 rigs, or 6%, from the previous year. The number of rigs seeking crude oil rose by two to 481, down 20 from 501 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas was down one rig to 101, 16 rigs below the 117 counted last October. Texas exceeded the national trend, climbing six rigs to 285 for the week, down 16 from 301 rigs active statewide the previous year. New Mexico lost two rigs for 99 rigs at work in the state. Oklahoma 1 joined Texas as the other producing state to see an increase. Louisiana 2 and Pennsylvania 2 joined New Mexico as producing states to see a decline. The Permian Basin was unchanged at 304 rigs, down 7 from 311 a year ago. Lee County, New Mexico remains the most active county in the Permian, reporting 49 rigs for a second week. Eddy County, New Mexico extended its downward streak to a third week, dropping one rig for 47 rigs at work within county lines. Martin County hosted 31 rigs for a third week. Reeves County saw its rig count decline a second week, dropping two rigs to 25. Midland and Loving counties each reported 24 rigs, unchanged for Midland and up one for Loving. Upton County saw 14 rigs, while Reagan County had 13, down one rig for the week. Ward County was up one rig to 12. And Howard County had 10 rigs for a fourth consecutive week. Gaines County saw renewed activity with the addition of a rig, while Chaves County, New Mexico, saw no activity with the loss of its one rig. Energy-dedicated software as a service firm in Veris said its U.S. rig count was up four rigs to 603 for the week ended October 4th, but remains down 29 rigs, or 5%, from 632 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for oil rose three rigs to 168, down 195 rigs, or 54%, from 363 a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell 3 to 86, down 67 rigs, or 44%, from 153 a year earlier. ExxonMobil remains the most active operator by rig count, with 36 rigs, unchanged for the week. Occidental Petroleum fell one rig to 29, and ConocoPhillips was unchanged at 28 rigs. Enverus Permian rig count was up one rig to 296 for the week, down 13 rigs, or 4%, from 309 a year earlier. The most active play, the Delaware, was up one rig to 171, but is down four rigs, or 2%, from 175 a year earlier. The Midland Basin fell one rig to 106 and is down eight rigs, or 7%, from 114 a year ago. Looking at trailing 30-day permits, the Permian had 812 permits as of the week ended September 20th, down from 839 a week earlier, but up from 787 the previous year. The Permian had 121 frac crews as of the week ended September 20th, down from 124 the previous week and from 150 a year earlier. Astroport SpaceTech plans lunar testing facility in Midland. Man's return to the moon may come through the tall city. Astroport Space Technologies has opened an office in Midland to develop its lunar surface testing facility and moon yard. Don Hooper, planetary geologist for the San Antonio-based company, will be in Midland this Wednesday to address the Midland chapter of SIPES on planetary geology and the geotechnics of lunar landing pad construction. Quote, "The purpose of the talk is to raise awareness," end quote, Hooper told the Reporter Telegram. He said the company is also working to obtain funding to build the moon yard, a full-scale mock-up of the lunar surface. He said the company has several potential sites for the moon yard, including Midland and a spot outside its San Antonio offices. Quote, it should be enclosed to test atmospheric conditions, end quote, he said. The company has received funding from NASA to develop construction materials, technologies, and civil engineering methods and processes for autonomous robotic construction of lunar surface infrastructure, such as landing pads, as part of NASA's Artemis program for returning to the moon. But Hooper said the company is seeking additional funding to build the moon yard, a mock-up of the lunar surface that would allow space for a variety of robots to operate and other sorts of activities. He said it should also be enclosed to test atmospheric conditions. Quote, habitat construction is what we're trying to do, end quote, he said. Hooper said the project would benefit both Astroport and the oil and gas industry. Technology and skills, particularly in geosciences, from the oil and gas industry would help improve understanding of the lunar surface and how to build a habitat. At the same time, gains from efforts to return to the moon, satellite imagery, environmental monitoring, robotics, and automation would benefit the oil and gas industry. Advances in materials to be used in a lunar habitat would be used to improve oil and gas equipment, he added. In addition to describing its lunar testing facility in the moon yard, Hooper will also discuss how the moon yard could be a catalyst for workforce development and provide STEM education programs to area students. Midland County warns of phone scams. The Midland County Sheriff's Office has issued an alert for residents of Midland County for ongoing phone scams where callers impersonate local law enforcement officers. According to the Sheriff's Office, these phone scammers demand money while often claiming to be law enforcement. Quote, there are multiple variations of the scam, but the callers always identify themselves as law enforcement and demand payment in the form of gift cards, credit/debit cards, or money apps for things such as a missed court date, a missed subpoena, an active warrant, etc., end quote, the Sheriff's Office said in a press release. Additionally, these callers may even spoof or imitate the agency's phone number when calling so that it appears the phone call is coming from the law enforcement agency. Quote, no law enforcement officer will ever call and demand money over the telephone in lieu of an arrest, end quote, said the Sheriff's Office. Residents are urged not to be intimidated by phone scammers. It is also imperative that Midland County residents not give out any personal details over the phone. If residents have any doubts, they are encouraged to hang up and call the agency directly. Be sure and use a phone number that is an official publicized phone number or go to the agency directly in person with concerns. Ben Milam celebrates Hispanic heritage with Culture Day. Ben Milam International Academy has celebrated Hispanic heritage all month long with decorated hallways and lessons dedicated to Spanish-speaking countries. On Friday, the school concluded their month-long celebration with its annual Culture Day, but their immersion into the Spanish language will continue all year long. For Culture Day, students dressed in traditional clothing from Spanish-speaking countries around the world, attended a flag parade, watched a ballet folklorico performance, and participated in other presentations about the countries they learned about. Quote, in our cafeteria, we have a gallery of famous Hispanics, end quote, said Principal Brenda Jobes. Quote, there is also a place decorated with cultural items of each country that they have learned about, end quote. Jobes said that to expand the knowledge of all the Spanish-speaking countries, they routinely rotate the country the classes are learning about. BMIA's Culture Day is an all-day cultural celebration that is a culmination of everything they have learned during Hispanic Heritage Month. Quote, in the morning, our parents volunteer their time and come to set up food and candy from different countries, end quote, Job said. Quote, kids come around to each booth and pick up food and have a conversation with the adults, end quote. She added that the younger kids also dress up in traditional attire. Quote, a majority of our students are Hispanic and our school program is dual language, end quote, Job said. Quote, we want our kids to also experience the cultural aspect of the program, end quote. She said that experiencing the Hispanic culture is important because it enriches students' lives. According to Jobs, nearly 85% of the student population is Hispanic. BMIA is Midland ISD's dual language academy, where students receive instruction in both English and Spanish. Quote, our dual language program started in 2019 and has added a grade each year, end quote, Jobs said. Quote, our program is up to fifth grade right now, so all of our students are in dual language class with the exception of a small portion of fifth and sixth grade, end quote. She added that next year, pretty much every student will be in the program. Quote, everybody here participates in the program, so when you come in, you will hear Spanish being spoken and our students go back and forth between the languages with ease, end quote, Jobs said. Quote, that's what we want, end quote. Jobs said that each student can participate in the dual language program even if they speak English at home. Quote, we want our kids to respect the value of language, end quote, Jobs said. Quote, we want them to believe that being bilingual is a superpower because it is, end quote. $1,000 reward offered for information on stolen $10,000 wedding ring. Midland Crime Stoppers is offering a $1,000 reward for information about the theft of a wedding ring valued at $10,000. The victim of the crime reportedly took her wedding ring off to wash her hands at a local business within the Cornerstone Shopping Center, 4400 Midland Drive. The victim placed the wedding ring on the sink and then left the bathroom. A short time later, the victim noticed that her ring was missing and went back to the restroom. However, the wedding ring was gone. Midland Crime Stoppers said that during the investigation of the lost ring, it was determined that a white or Hispanic female with blonde hair and wearing a blue sleeveless shirt with the words Freedom Forever on the front went into the bathroom after the victim and is considered a suspect in this theft. In addition to wearing a blue shirt, the female suspect was wearing blue shorts slash skirt and light-colored sandals. The Midland Police Department is asking for assistance in identifying the female suspect in this case. The first tip that identifies the suspect, which leads to an arrest or a case solved, will be eligible for a $1,000 cash reward. No caller identification is ever used and all callers remain anonymous. Please reference Midland PD case number 240-925-032 when calling the hotline. Call 694-TIPS or dial 1-800-7-LOCKUP. Midland Crime Stoppers also has a mobile app available, or users can submit directly to the website, www.694tips.com. For reward eligibility, a tip must be submitted via the hotline, mobile app, or website, and result in law enforcement making an arrest. No other avenues are eligible for the reward. Crude prices gain amid Milton Middle East supply fears. Crude prices posted a second weekly gain, fueled in part by Hurricane Milton and worries about the possibility of supply disruptions in the Middle East. West Texas Intermediate fell 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, opening with a $2.76 jump, but then falling $3.57 Tuesday and an additional 33 cents Wednesday. WTI recovered its footing Thursday, rising $2.61 and ended the week dropping 29 cents to close at $75.56, up from $74.38 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $72.04, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures had a losing week on the NYMEX, opening the trading week with an 11-cent drop. Prices dropped an additional 8.5 cents Wednesday, inched 1.5 cents higher Thursday, and dropped 4.3 cents Friday to close the week at $2.632 per MCF, down from $2.854 at last Friday's close. Quote, this past week in particular, crude, as measured by the prompt month, November, contract, was generally higher but is traded relatively range-bound between a high of $76.24 and low of $71.53, end quote. Mark Graham, head of energy at Texas Capital, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. He wrote that the price moves were despite news on the week that could have profoundly moved commodity prices, including Further Chinese economic stimulus announced during the week, bullish. Hurricane Milton making landfall in Florida with potential adverse impact for fuel demand, bearish. Quote, against this backdrop, domestic crude producers continue to deliver record volumes, 13.4 million barrels per day based on latest data available, and inventories remain relatively low, end quote, he wrote. Low to negative Waha prices prompted Apache parent, APA, to curtail approximately 103,000 cubic feet per day of natural gas production in the third quarter. The company reported in a supplemental third quarter financial and operational results report. The company also curtailed an estimated 10,000 barrels per day of natural gas liquids during the quarter, mostly associated with the voluntary gas curtailments. That's above the previous guidance issued in July that contemplated curtailments of 90,000 cubic feet and 7,500 barrels of NGLs. Quote, amplified gas price instability is a sure bet in the next few years as the market tries to time supply growth and LNG export capacity with the required midstream infrastructure needed to move the molecules, end quote, said Jason Feet, lead author of a report addressing natural gas price volatility and an advisor at EIR. Quote, EIR expects Waha gas prices to further tighten to Henry Hub as Matterhorn Express pipeline ramps up to full capacity. However, Katy and East Texas may see reduced pricing strength as additional gas makes its way there in advance of forthcoming LNG demand, end quote, said Feet in the report. Phil Flynn, author of the Energy Report, Daily Market Oil Commentary, wrote in his Friday report, a strike on Iranian oil infrastructure should send crude oil up at least $10 a barrel, and if Iran attacks Saudi Arabia, for example, the spike could be as high as $20 a barrel, quote, as S&P Global reminds us that the Israel-Iran conflict could disrupt the source of 30% of the world's oil and crucial maritime routes, end quote. Houston man dies in fiery crash with oil tank in Martin County. Martin County. A 27-year-old man is dead following a single-vehicle collision with an oil storage tank. The Texas Department of Public Safety reported Gavin Stone Popowitz of Houston was pronounced dead at the scene of a fatal incident that occurred at approximately 1 a.m. Thursday, October 10th, along County Road 3200, 4 miles west of Farm to Market Road 1212. According to the DPS report, Popowitz was driving a 2011 Buick Encore. The preliminary information from the DPS report revealed that the Buick was traveling at a high rate of speed when it veered off the roadway. The Buick rolled over before it struck an oil storage tank and caught on fire. Popowitz was pronounced dead at the scene. It's believed the crash happened at about 1 a.m. However, the crash scene was not discovered until the afternoon. This crash remains under investigation. No further information has been released at this time. Oil report. Mental health issues in oil industry cost $200 billion annually. Financial losses come from reduced productivity, high employee turnover. Bruises, scrapes, even broken bones are visible signs of the risk of working in the oil patch. Less visible, however, are the mental risks. Accidents and injuries affect not only the well-being of employees, but a company's financial health. Daniel Radabaugh, Chief Strategy Officer at Accelerated Construction Unlimited, told members of the Permian Basin STEPS, Service Transmission and Exploration and Production Safety Network at their monthly meeting this week. He estimated the cost to businesses to be about $200 billion annually. The financial losses come from reduced productivity, high employee turnover, or the loss of skilled labor is a direct result of unmanaged mental health challenges, he said. He told those in attendance the oil and gas industry must develop a similar mindset in addressing mental health as it does when it comes to addressing physical health in terms of prevention and support. Radabaugh offered some stark statistics when it comes to mental health and the oil industry. 19% of oil and gas workers experience psychological disorders. 1 in 5 experience depression, anxiety, and/or substance abuse. The suicide rate for oil field service workers is 54.2 per 100,000 workers. Nearly 15% of oil and gas workers report substance abuse problems. higher than the national workforce average. Eighty-six percent of workers said company culture should support mental health. He also listed several causes: long work hours, remote and isolated work environment, high physical demand, workplace culture, being away from family, high stress environment, no mental outlet for relief. Quote, the volatility of the industry leads to employment uncertainty and financial stress, end quote, he added. Quote, layoffs fuel anxiety and depression, end quote. Radabaugh also offered several solutions to strengthen mental health among oil field employees. Create a culture of support. Encourage open dialogue about mental health. Company leaders should be engaged on the issue. Implement an employee wellness program regarding mental health. Raise awareness through management training. Provide preventative care and wellness checkups. Promote a work-life balance. Realize it is a problem. Quote, map out mental health resources within your company and community. Identify stress triggers in the workforce and brainstorm potential coping strategies, end quote, he advised. Imperative Chemical Partners acquires Performance Chemical. Imperative Chemical Partners has made its second significant acquisition of the year. The Midland-based company is acquiring Performance Chemical Company, which provides specialty chemical solutions primarily serving midstream and production operators in the oil and gas industry. It follows Imperative's acquisition of Western Chemical and represents a key step in expanding its depth and breadth of services, primarily to midstream customers throughout the United States. Performance Chemical, also headquartered in Midland, was founded in 2009 and offers customized chemical formulations and field application services to protect assets, provide flow assurance, and manage produced water for midstream and upstream oil and gas infrastructure. Jerry and Burl Fuller, Performance Chemical's chief executive officer and president, will retire after more than 15 years with the company. Quote, this acquisition is a strategic milestone, expanding our operations to provide best-in-class specialty chemical solutions to our nation's critical midstream and producing infrastructure, and enables us to continue delivering the highest level of customer service by further scaling our operations, end quote, said Ryan Havens, chief executive officer of Imperative, in a statement. Quote, additionally, this investment marks another exciting milestone in our ongoing search to identify and acquire value-enhancing organizations that align with our mission and long-term goals, end quote. BCCK Carbon Clean team up for U.S. carbon capture solutions. Midland-based BCCK and Carbon Clean are teaming up to provide carbon capture solutions to customers across the U.S. BCCK has long been known for its nitrogen rejection technology. Kevin Blunt, BCCK Chief Executive Officer, said. Quote, what Carbon Clean's technology will do is let us build on that based on our expertise, end quote, he told the reporter Telegram. Levi Quinn, Carbon Clean's Chief Delivery and Supply Chain Officer, agreed, saying BCCK brings its experience in engineering, fabrication, installation, and field construction, along with its clientele and reputation, while his company brings amine-based technology that captures and removes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere at the point of emission. Quote, if we're going to be in the U.S., let's fabricate in the U.S., end quote, he said. Blunt said Carbon Clean had developed a comprehensive spreadsheet of industries, and 58 of those potential targets, quote, are in our space, end quote. Quote, it's certainly a significant target market, and it helps if we've already got those contacts, end quote, he said. He said customers want reassurance about the technology. Quote, imagine a friendly face, someone you're familiar with, like BCCK, end quote, he said. Quinn said his company has a goal of capturing 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide. Quote, the best way is to form partnerships with companies that are like-minded, end quote, he said, adding that everyone has a role in addressing emissions. The two will collaborate in providing Carbon Clean's semi-modular Capture X technology across the U.S. priority sectors, in addition to oil and gas production, include gas processing, air separation, power generation, landfill, gas, biogas, and hydrogen. Texas Tech Law students visit Midland to learn energy law firsthand. Law school students taking field trips is not a typical law school function, acknowledges Bill Keffer with the Texas Tech University School of Law. He has brought students to Midland for 15 years and brought 20 students to the Tall City at the end of September. The purpose of the trips is twofold, he explained to the Reporter Telegram. First, he wants to equip and prepare his students for what's going on in the real world and to be fully informed in all forms of energy. The trip to Midland, where they visited the Petroleum Museum and a Fasken Oil and Ranch drill site, lets them put on hard hats and fire-retardant coveralls and actually see a drilling rig in operation. It better equips them to practice energy law, he explained. He said he has had to provide remedial education on oil and gas with his students who aren't really aware of how the industry works, why they should be interested in oil and gas law, or why the world shouldn't eliminate oil and natural gas. Quote, they have no understanding of the importance of oil and gas to the economy, end quote, he said. Quote, they come to meet the end of the semester and say they just didn't know. They leave with a better appreciation of the importance of the industry, end quote. The second purpose is to expose the students to life in Midland and Odessa in the hopes they'd be interested in practicing law in a smaller city. Quote, it's a great way to open their eyes and get them excited and interested in Midland, Odessa. It's fun to see the light bulbs come on, end quote, he said. That is one reason his field trips have drawn the support of and participation of local energy attorneys. Students had dinner at the Petroleum Club courtesy of Diamondback Energy and Bill Carraway and listened to comments from Rob Crumpler of Davis, Gerald, and Kramer, Julie Shelton of Kelly, Hart, and Holman, John Stretcher with ConocoPhillips, and Lacey Stretcher with EOG Resources. After touring the museum, students were treated to a lunch catered by Max Barbecue, courtesy of Cotton Bledsoe, Teague, and Dawson. Speakers included David Lauritsen with Cotton Bledsoe, Shane Stokes with Lynch Chapel and Alsop, Anna Brandel with Kelly Hart and Holman, and Kevin Kalpoise with Brockett and McNeil. Keffer said the students learned that Midland has a young population of young singles, young families, and young professionals. Quote, they find it interesting and exciting, which invariably results in students pursuing area jobs with local firms, end quote, he said. Keffer was a practicing attorney in Dallas with 30 years of experience when he was hired as an oil and gas law professor at Tech in 2014. Quote, I knew right off the bat it made sense for Texas Tech to be recognized as a premier energy law school because it's the only law school in proximity to the Permian Basin, where the action is, end quote, he said. He formed an advisory group comprised of about 25 alumni, and one mentioned that Cotton Bledsoe used to host field trips. He said he asked if they were interested in doing so again and was met with enthusiasm. APA Corp and Palantir Extend Partnership introduce AI capabilities. After 3 years of working together, APA Corp, parent of Apache Corp, and Palantir Technology have expanded their partnership, announcing a multi-year, multi-million-dollar extension to their enterprise agreement. Not only does this new agreement expand on the work deployed across APA's global portfolio, it introduces new artificial intelligence capabilities with Palantir's Artificial Intelligence Platform, AIP, software. The partnership has been extended for 4 years, according to Matt Babin, Palantir's head of energy and natural resources. He said the company had had an exclusive arrangement with BP until 2020, when it began working with other companies, including APA. Quote, by leveraging artificial intelligence, Apache can more accurately monitor, analyze, and report emissions data, optimize supply chain logistics, and make better informed decisions about reservoir management, ultimately enhancing operational efficiency and sustainability. Apache's partnership with Palantir underscores the company's commitment to utilizing AI to help solve critical operational challenges, end quote. Travis Osborne, Apache's vice president and chief information officer, told the Reporter Telegram. Babin told the Reporter Telegram, The company's platform allows the user to cover the entire supply chain or to narrow it to specifics, such as one well or a fleet of compressors. The software has been used in applications as varied as operational planning, supply chain management, maintenance planning, production optimization, and contract management. Quote, "We released AIP about 18 months ago, last summer," end quote, Babin said. Quote, "The idea was we built the software to harness models long term. We built out the nouns and verbs of the business. Well pads, wells, stations, trucks, facilities, gathering stations. So it could schedule trucks or see the battery levels at a well," end quote. The platform enables customers to leverage everything in the model but constrains them using ontology languages, which are used in artificial intelligence and computer science to allow for the specification of classes, properties, and restrictions, and often include reasoning rules to support knowledge processing. Quote, "AIP will decode a question and answer it based on training data," end quote, Babin explained. Quote, "If you ask which wells in the Permian Basin are producing lower than expected, lower than production models, AIP knows product levels. We can create an AIP agent to look at well deviation and create a schedule to look at those wells," end quote. For all that capability, Babin said humans are the most important part of the equation. Quote, "Where I see AI used well is when people say, this is what I want to do differently. Use AI to generate better results, improve margins, improve lifting costs. Where AI doesn't go well is when people look at the technology first and hope it goes well," end quote, he said. Quote, "No engineer I've met has made decisions on a well because a machine told him to," end quote, he added. "The growth of data centers and their need for power makes oil and gas even more important," he said. "The company was founded to work with intelligence and defense and has been working in the energy sector about 10 years, Babin said. Besides APA, he said, Palantir has worked with ExxonMobil and Kinder Morgan, among others. As nice it is as it is to announce new clients, quote, I'm more excited to announce renewals," end quote, he said. Quote, "The best referral is an existing customer's renewal," end quote. Profile. Reagan Hignohos champions Midland community through service. Reagan Hignohos, born and raised in Midland, believes in giving back to the community that shaped him into the man he is today. He advocates for the best interests of community members, especially the most vulnerable populations. Over the past 15 years, he has served on at least 10 community boards and advisory panels, most of them with missions of improving public schools and quality of life. Quote, "I've lived through the good and the hard times in Midland," end quote, Hignohos said. Quote, "Through it all, I've gained a deep love and appreciation for the people in this community, many of whom stepped in during my formative years when I probably needed it the most. My past and present affiliation with MISD through serving as an advisory board member to IDEA Public Schools, a member of the District Education Improvement Committee, and the long-range facility planning and bond committees stems from the fact that I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for MISD. Quote, "I was born to very young teen parents who did the best they could considering neither had the opportunity to graduate from high school. By the time my parents were 23, they had four children. It was challenging for them to make ends meet. However, they never asked for government assistance. Many times MISD was the only place where I would receive a meal, central heating and air, and even discipline. Teachers, principals, coaches, custodians, bus drivers, and lunch ladies encouraged me and gave me a chance to succeed. I wholeheartedly understand how much some kids in our community depend on MISD. I was that kid once upon a time," end quote. Hignohos recalled one teacher during his third grade year at the former Travis Elementary School. Quote, "I was a really good student, and whenever we made an A+, Mrs. Leacher gave us extra candy. I worked hard to earn candy that year and was not aware until I was much older of how Mrs. Leacher helped build my self-confidence." Quote, "There's one day that year that I will never forget. I was abruptly pulled out of school and faced with home life changes. With no time to process, I was sent back to class. I was emotional and clearly struggling. Mrs. Leacher just scooped me up in her arms and hugged me. That made me feel safe. I needed that hug and her comfort. Unfortunately, 2 years later, Mrs. Leacher passed away from cancer. I'm 43 now, the same age she was when she passed away, and it has been heavy on my heart. I wonder if she would be proud of me as I make serious life and career changes," end quote. Hardships at home continued throughout middle and high school. Life lessons taught Hignojos at a young age that he was going to have to work extremely hard to break free of generational cycles and build a better future for himself and future family. Quote, summertime was different for me than most other kids, end quote, Hignojos recalled. Quote, I was expected to help provide for my family by working in fireworks stands across West Texas. Most of the time I worked alone because my parents had to manage other stands to maximize our income. I'll never forget the summer when I was 12. My parents dropped me off to work at the fireworks stand in Big Lake with nothing but the clothes on my back. No money, I had nothing, and it wasn't just for the day, it was for 2 weeks. Fortunately, there was a Dairy Queen across the street, so after I sold a few fireworks, I could go over to the Dairy Queen to use the restroom and get something to eat. I slept in the fireworks stand at night. I guess I thought that was normal for a kid to do, end quote. Hignojos graduated from Midland High School in 1999 and enrolled at the University of Houston. During this time, he lived with his uncle and worked part-time at Old Navy. Quote, that arrangement worked out well for a couple of years, but then my uncle, who was working for Enron, lost his job when the company declared bankruptcy in 2001, end quote, Hignojos explained. Quote, I tried to stay in Houston while working part-time at Old Navy and going to school, but it was too much. I was put on academic probation and came back home to Midland, end quote. Hignojos transferred employment to Old Navy in Midland. In 2005, he enrolled in Midland College, and in 2006, he started a building contractor business. He continued to take classes at Midland College part-time, mostly online, until 2022, when he received an associate degree. Quote, it took me over 20 years to earn an associate degree, end quote, he explained. Quote, it's never too late, even if it takes a few decades. School is hard to fit into everyday life when running a business and raising a family. The funny thing is that if I were given an opportunity to live my life all over again, I wouldn't change a thing except that after high school graduation, I would stay in Midland and attend Midland College, end quote. Two Midland College professors that Hignojos fondly remembers are Michael Dixon, who taught Hignojos math and is now provost, and Dale Westfall, accounting professor. Hignojos said that recently he has spent a lot of time thinking about Dixon and Westfall and all the other people who have made a significant impact in his life. In fact, this past summer, he launched a podcast focusing on how people in Midland have positively changed his life. This list of individuals includes his two children, Jacob, age 20, and Riley, age 17. Both of his children attend Midland ISD schools. Jacob is a student in MISD's Encore Academy program, targeted for young adults with special needs, and Riley is a junior at Legacy High School. Hignojos is continuing his higher education pursuits and working toward a degree in special education at the University of Texas Permian Basin. He said he became interested in special education through his involvement in various community and state organizations that advocate and offer programs for special needs children and adults. He serves on the Resource Board for Special Olympics Texas and has been instrumental in organizing the annual Fall Classic State Championship Games recently held in Midland, Odessa, October 3rd through 5th. During the Fall Classic competition, athletes compete in swimming, golf, equestrian, bocce, and softball. Quote, once I complete my bachelor's degree in May 2026, I'm not sure what direction I will take, end quote, he stated. Quote, I may teach, or I think I would also like to start a business that hires adults with special needs, end quote. In his spare time, Hignojos enjoys being with friends. He said that his Midland friendships are an important aspect of his life, and instead of traveling, he chooses to spend his vacation time in Midland enjoying the company of friends and family. He also dabbles in the visual arts, creating screen printing, pencil drawings, and works in watercolor and charcoal. Life Tributes, Johnny Guy Morgan, 9/15/1958 to 10/2/2024. Johnny Guy Morgan was born September 15, 1958, in Fort Sumner, New Mexico, to Homer Dale and Helen Shipley Morgan. Johnny is survived by his loving wife, Terry Morgan of The Home, bonus son, Derek Brown, and wife, Jackie of Austin, Texas, sisters, Cindy Ridley and husband, Dwayne of Melrose, New Mexico, Tracy Roper and husband, Chris of Amarillo, Texas, Jill Tatum and husband, Ted of Ima, New Mexico, best sister-in-law ever, Lisa Richards and husband, Jay of Midland, Texas, nephews and nieces, Sonny Hamilton and husband Sean of Clovis, New Mexico, Karina Roberts and husband Cutter of Melrose, New Mexico, Tyler Tatum and wife Lauren of Ropesville, Texas, Cole Tatum and wife Shelby of McAllister, New Mexico, Logan Harris of Lockhart, Texas, Dylan Fulton of Midland, Texas, and 12 great-nieces and nephews. He is also survived by the most loving stepmom you could hope for, Patsy Roberts of Texaco, New Mexico. Johnny is preceded in death by his parents, Homer Dale Morgan and Helen Shipley Davis, his son, John Derek Morgan, and his sister, Susan Carol Morgan. A celebration of Johnny's life will be held at the branch at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland at 2 o'clock p.m. on Saturday, October 19, 2024. Interment will take place at the Fort Sumner Cemetery in Fort Sumner, New Mexico, on November 2, 2024, time to be determined and posted later. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be directed to a favorite charity. Eddie Francis Biggs, 8-4-1929 to 10-9-2024. Eddie Francis Biggs, 95, passed away peacefully at her home Wednesday, October 9th, 2024, in Stanton, Texas. Visitation will be Monday, October 14th, 2024, from 9:30 to 11 o'clock a.m. in the Fellowship Hall of the First Methodist Church in Stanton, with funeral services to follow. Burial immediately afterwards at Evergreen Cemetery in Stanton. Francis was born August 4th, 1929, to Edmund Harper Morrow and Guida Woodward Morrow in a small home outside of Stanton. Preceding her in death were her parents, husband James and oldest daughter Beth. Survivors include brother Billy Morrow, Virginia of Midland, Kathy Tom Finley of Menard, Leanne Marcus Herrera of San Angelo, 10 grandchildren and 22 great-grandchildren. Francis had a giving, charitable heart, so in lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to a favorite charity in her name. Arrangements are under the direction of Gilbreth Funeral Home of Stanton. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Teresa Lou Shumsky, 5-2-1955 to 10-9-2024. Teresa Lou Shumsky, née Glasgow, born on May 2, 1955, in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, passed away on October 9, 2024, at the age of 69, in Midland, Texas. She leaves behind her sons, Tyler Shumsky of Midland and Wesley Shumsky, along with his wife, Haley, of Texas City, her brother, Terry Glasgow, of Houston, nephews, Marshall Glasgow and his wife, Kelly, and daughter, Lennon, of Austin, and Matthew Glasgow of Salt Lake City, Utah, and cousin Jenny Small of Woodward, Oklahoma. Her passing was preceded by her father, Wayne Glasgow, mother, Mary Glasgow, sister-in-law, Janet Glasgow, and cousins Jeanette, Atha, and Lisa Bowler. A memorial service to honor Teresa's life is being held at 2 o'clock p.m., Monday, October 14, 2024, at the Nallie Pickle and Welch Chapel in Midland, Texas. At a later date, there will be a burial in Dacoma, Oklahoma, with family. In lieu of flowers, contributions may be made to your charity of choice in remembrance of Teresa. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Rita Degenfelder, 8-5-1929 to 8-15-2024. Mary Rita Degenfelder, 95, passed away peacefully on Thursday, August 15, 2024. The Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, surrounded by her family. Born August 5, 1929, in Iowa City, Iowa, she was the daughter of Edward and Maggie Bushman. Rita is preceded in death by her husband, parents, and brothers John, Kenny, and Donnie. Rita is survived by her children Susan, Dean, Christy, Steve, Cheryl, Degenfelder, Jeff, Renna, Degenfelder, and Diane, Degenfelder, and her 5 grandchildren, Kenneth, Megan, Brian Douglas, Brian, Elizabeth, and John Degenfelder. A rosary and funeral mass were held in the chapel at Christus St. Joseph's Village Retirement Community in Coppell, Texas. A graveside service followed at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland, Texas. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations to the Alzheimer's Association and Knights of Comfort Hospice. Jimmy Lee Smith, 7/22/1959 to 10/7/2024. A celebration of Jimmy's life will be held on October 12, 2024 at Visionary Hallowell Community United Methodist Church at 11 o'clock a.m. Friends and family are invited to come together to remember and honor the remarkable life of a man who gave so much and asked for so little in return. Jimmy Lee Smith's presence will be deeply missed, but his spirit will live on in the hearts of all who are fortunate to know him. Rest in peace, Jimmy. You will always be remembered and cherished.
Quick hits. Election 2024. Early voting begins October the 21st in the presidential election. A number of local races are also on the ballot. Eddie Mitchell will challenge current District 1 City Council person Mark Matta in November's election. Meals on Wheels Executive Director Craig Stoker is challenging incumbent Denise Swanner for the Odessa City Council at-large seat. Odessa Attorney Cal Hendrick is challenging Mayor Javier Hoven. District 2 will feature incumbent Steve Thompson against Naily Urias. The races are nonpartisan and are for four-year terms. Early voting begins October the 21st and ends November the 1st. November the 5th is Election Day. OC's Bond. Voters in Ector County will decide the fate of a $355 million bond election for Odessa College, which will raise property taxes. If approved, funds will be used for a new sports center, career and technical education building, repurposing the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Center as a child care center, infrastructure, and for the downtown campus. Shem Culpepper, president and CEO of First Basin Credit Union, led a committee made up of community members to look at OC needs. Culpepper said on a $334,000 home, it would be about $30 per month or $360 a year more in property taxes over what homeowners are already paying. Odessa Parade. Odessans will have several chances to celebrate Dia de los Muertos in Odessa this year, including several parades and a day of art at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. An early event is scheduled through the Navarro Group, which contracted with the City of Odessa for $50,000 to plan Firecracker Fandango, the Dia de los Muertos Parade and Festival, and the Christmas Parade and Festival. This year's parade and downtown festival will be on October the 19th from 4 to 10 p.m. on Texas Avenue between 7th and 2nd Streets, and the parade is at 7 p.m. and will be televised live on CBS 7. Obituaries. Eva Jane Murray passed away on October the 6th in Andrews, Texas. Family and friends will gather to celebrate her life at 11 a.m. Friday, October the 11th at Means Methodist Church. Arrangements are under the personal care of McNett Funeral Home. Renee Valdez Sanchez, age 73, passed away on October the 1st. A viewing will be held on Tuesday, October the 15th from 2 to 8 p.m. Funeral services will be held on Wednesday, October the 16th at 10 a.m. at the American Heritage Funeral Home, with interment immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Doyle Edwin Parker, also known as Coach Parker, age 87, passed away unexpectedly on October the 7th in Lubbock. Visitation will be held on Friday, October the 11th. From 6 to 8 p.m. at Lake Ridge Chapel and Memorial Designers at 6025 82nd Street in Lubbock, Texas. A celebration of life will take place on Saturday, October the 12th at 2 p.m. at Lake Ridge Methodist Church, 4701 82nd Street in Lubbock. Barbara Bunnell, age 91 of Odessa, died Wednesday, October the 9th in Odessa. Graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. October the 15th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Teddy Mathis, age 53 of Odessa, died Wednesday, October the 9th in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. October the 12th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Jesse Howard Norman Jr., age 81 of Odessa, died Tuesday, September the 24th in Odessa. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. October the 19th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. James Harold Jim Peck, age 92 of Odessa, died Tuesday, October the 8th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. October the 14th at Northside Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Dennis Lynn Sweet, age 67, a resident of Belen, New Mexico, passed away on October the 6th. Services will be held at Romero Funeral Home Chapel on Tuesday, October the 15th, beginning with a visitation at 11 a.m., followed by a rosary at 11:30 a.m., and a celebration of life to take place at 12 p.m. Romero Funeral Home is at 609 North Main Street in Belen, New Mexico. Randall Clyde Nunley, age 67, passed away on Thursday, October the 3rd. A celebration of life will be held at Moon Tower Saloon on Saturday, October the 12th at 1 p.m. This day in history. Today is Saturday, October the 12th, and on this day in 2002, bombs blamed on Al-Qaeda linked militants destroyed two nightclubs on the Indonesian island of Bali, killing 202 people, many of whom were foreign tourists. And also on this date in 1870, General Robert E. Lee died in Lexington, Virginia, at age 63. In 1892, the Pledge of Allegiance is first recited by students in the U.S. public schools. In 1901, the Executive Mansion is officially renamed the White House. In 1933, bank robber John Dillinger escaped from a jail in Allen County, Ohio, with the help of his gang, who killed the sheriff, Jess Sharber. In 1960, Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev protested remarks at the United Nations by pounding his shoe on his desk. In 1968, Mexican track and field athlete Enriqueta Basilio became the first woman to light the Olympic flame at the opening ceremonies of the Mexico City Summer Games. In 1971, the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar opened on Broadway. In 1973, President Richard Nixon nominated House Minority Leader Gerald R. Ford of Michigan to succeed Spiro T. Agnew as vice president. In 1984, British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher escaped an attempt on her life when an Irish Republican Army bomb exploded at a hotel in Brighton, England, killing five people. In 2000, 17 sailors were killed in a suicide bomb attack on the destroyer USS Cole in Yemen. In 2019, Eliud Kipchoge became the first person to run a marathon in less than 2 hours, crossing the finish line of the INEOS 1:59 challenge in Vienna, Austria, with a time of 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. Dear Abby, 17 years ago, I had a mental breakdown. For the first 3 years afterward, my husband stood by me. The medications I was prescribed caused me to gain more than 100 pounds. I have tried diets to no avail. I suggested to him that maybe we could hold each other and see where it had led us. His reply was, "I'm no longer attracted to you. You knew that when we married that I wasn't attracted to larger, fat women. Since then, I no longer respect or value him. He has his room and I have mine on the other side of the house. We do absolutely nothing together. When he comes to my bedroom, he doesn't knock. When I need to go through his room, I always knock. He said, "This is my house, too, and I don't knock." I can't stand his arrogant ways. I still have to pretend we are married, but I don't feel it. He calls me baby. I have expressed that I have no interest in pretending and have asked him to stop calling me that. I'm on a fixed income. All my retirement money is invested in this home and property. I pay all the bills. We haven't had sex in 14 years. I'm lonely for male companionship. I don't know how much longer I can live this way, even though he didn't leave when I really needed him. Please advise. Dear Abby answers, it has been 17 years since you were prescribed the medications you have been taking, and there may have been improvements made in the intervening years. Contact the doctor who prescribed them and ask whether there is something newer that would allow you to lose some of the weight you haven't been able to lose. It may help if you explain what those meds have done to the state of your marriage. If adjusting your medication is not possible, you will have to decide how important male companionship is to you, because you may have to find it elsewhere. Consult an attorney and ask what you would wind up with if the house were sold and the money was split. After that, you may be in a better position to explore your options. And another dear Abby, my husband of 20-plus years had 2 kids with his first wife. I have none. One of his kids, who answers no voicemails, emails, or texts from us, now has 2 kids under age 5 from his own second marriage. They live less than an hour away. My husband and I saw the younger child once, almost a year ago. It was the last time we saw my husband's son and his kids. My husband has seen his grandkids less than 4 times in 4 years. Have you any suggestions on how to repair this emotional cutoff? And dear Abby answers, has your husband told his son that he would like to have a closer relationship with him and his family? When exactly did this estrangement begin? Do you know what caused it? Once you have the answers to those questions, if apologies are in order, your husband should offer them verbally, in writing or in person. The ball will then be in your stepson's court. You can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.